Well, our scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 8, and if you have your Bibles there with you, if you would turn there with me, and we're going to be reading Luke 8, verses 4 through 15. And if you would stand as we read from God's holy word, I read in the name of our Lord Jesus. And when a great crowd was gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. For as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Here ends our reading. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you spoke in parables. It's sometimes confusing to us, the points that you're trying to make, and we can't understand them without your help and your Holy Spirit giving us enlightenment in our hearts to understand these things. So we pray that you would help us to understand what your point was in all of this. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to believe the words that are said to us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, there are four different kinds of people who are in this room, or potentially in this room. You see, all of us are going to be hearing God's word. We've already heard God's word read this morning. And so we are hearing what is called the seed in this parable. The seed is being planted or sown in us today. And there's four different responses that can come from this, or four different attitudes or heart conditions, you could say, that this seed might find. But before we get to breaking down those four different types, we're going to look at the seed. So first the seed and then the soil. When we think about the seed that is in this story, I've already mentioned that it is defined by Jesus as the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed that is sown. As we look through this parable and see how the seed interacts, we notice that as it comes across all these different types of soil that it could land in, the seed always does something. It always is bringing life, right? It is always a good thing. Notice, too, despite the different reactions that can happen in the different soils, it is not the soil itself that can create life or that can actually do anything good on its own. It is the seed that must come in. The work of the sower and the miraculous, marvelous work of the seed. Now, for farmers, we understand a lot of different things about not that I'm a farmer, but we all understand a lot of things about farming, and farmers know so much about the kind of conditions that are required for growing things, all the care that it takes to bring a plant to maturity. But It is still mysterious, isn't it? That we can take this hard little seed, this tiny little thing, and we can stick it in the ground, and it can just grow. We can tend it, we can water it. That's another scriptural picture that we have, right? But only God really can bring the growth. And that's the picture here as well. Knowing that this seed is the Word of God, and thinking about how this applies to us then, and that we are the various kinds of soil, but the seed is the Word of God, I want to point back to the scripture that we read earlier from Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. And this is a different illustration or picture, but it's talking about the same Word of God. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And so the thing I want us to catch from this is that God's word does not return empty or without fruit or without accomplishing what it was sent for. God's word is effective. It performs in whatever situation it goes into. It accomplishes the purposes that God sends it for. And so even now, as you are hearing the word of God, know this, that the word of God is powerful and effective, and it is also the only thing that can come in and produce life in you. This will become very important at the end as we tie this all back together, but let's look at the different types of soil that this seed, the word of God, can land in. First of all, there's the hard soil, the road, the path. And this is a picture of dirt that has just been trampled by a lot of feet. It's been beaten down to be hard. And so when the seed lands on it, it doesn't penetrate in. It sits right on the top. You know, when we think about this, this is talking about a certain kind of heart condition or heart attitude. And I bet you can see this maybe sometimes in yourself. Maybe you recognize this in others as well. But those who have hardened their heart, they're so tough. When they hear the word of God, they think, "I don't need that. I don't need that in my life." They don't let it in. Some people, it's because they become so angry and bitter that they've hardened themselves to whatever God would say to them. So, and oftentimes there's also a mix of arrogance and pride in this, thinking, "I don't need that thing. I can do better on my own." We see a great picture of this, a dramatic example of this in Pharaoh in Egypt, when he was holding God's people hostage as slaves, and God was telling him to let his people go. And Pharaoh would not. And it says over and over that he hardened his heart to the word of God. Pharaoh thought he was fine on his own. He thought of himself as a god. He didn't think he needed God. He was self-reliant. He was arrogant. He was proud. And he held God away. Even though God came to him and spoke to him, he didn't want anything to do with it. So he resisted it. Jesus tells us that in this story, the birds that swoop down and grab the seeds off of the road as they just sit on top of it are actually the devil. And I would assume then his followers, the demons that would come and snatch away this word. And the devil is working against God's word, trying to combat what he says for people. This word that would have gone into their heart and created good things is now snatched away by the devil. We also find here then our first great enemy that we all face, the devil. The next soil that we find is the rocky soil. If you can picture this, when a seed falls down into rocky soil, Sometimes it can find a little dirt or a little moisture, something to grab onto and grow. It's amazing. Every once in a while you'll see a plant or a tree growing in a really unusual place like that. But one thing that's true about that is that when difficulties come, it can't last. It doesn't really have anything to hold on to. It doesn't have deep roots into good soil. And so it will blow over or burn up when the sun comes out. When we think especially about the emphasis here in the book of Luke, this is also told in Matthew and Mark, this emphasis in Luke really brings the picture of the moisture. And we think of how we are told to drink deeply from the Word of God. And when you don't do that, when you don't have the moisture, this life-bringing Word of God, this water of God, living water, when you don't have that, and trials come into your life, you burn up and you die. You don't bear fruit. This can be applied in a number of different ways, but part of the picture, I think, is that someone who would hear the Word of God, like you are today, and be excited about it, or think, hey, that's a good thing. You hear about the blessings. Hey, grace, that sounds great. Love, I like that. Good things, do I want to be blessed? Sure, that sounds wonderful. But you don't really allow yourself to take root, and you don't really put your roots deeply down in the Word of God and delight yourself in it, but it's kind of a shallow, emotional thing. And I would think that it's really characterized, too, by an unbroken heart that hasn't really recognized the deep need for this and also the great sin that we have in our life. Not being totally broken in our spirit, not thinking you need all of the blessings of Scripture. It breaks my heart when I look out and I see some people seemingly shallowly accepting the truths of God, not realizing how deep this needs to penetrate and how much they need it in every part of their life. And we can see that with people in this situation, when trials in their life come, they abandon God's Word pretty quickly. And we will encounter trials in this life. Life is tough on this planet. There are a lot of troubles for everybody, but particularly for Christians. Jesus tells us that when we follow Him, we can expect trials and tribulations, troubles. He says, they rejected me first. Of course, they're going to reject you. We're to expect trials. He tells us if we would follow after Him, we must take up our cross and follow Him. We are to be cross bearers, and that means we are to be going through a life of trouble and hardship. We can see that the devil is our enemy and he's fighting against us, but we also fight in this life against a second enemy, and that's ourselves, our own flesh and our own heart. And these people, when their flesh and their hearts start to be affected, they give up quickly on God's Word. There's a third type of soil here, the weedy soil. So the seed goes in, and again, it produces life in that soil. But there are weeds and thorns there as well. And even though it grows up, the plant grows up, and it would bear fruit, these weeds end up choking it out. This is like Jesus calls it those who are looking at or who have put their trust in the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So we see a third enemy here, the world, and its cares, riches, and pleasures. You see, we have all around us these different temptations, these things that we can put our trust in, that we can try to find delight in, but they don't actually help us. In fact, if we look to these things of this world, they will choke out our spiritual life. This is not to say that God doesn't want to bless you physically in this life with good things and pleasures. But when we care more about these things in this world than we do about God's word and what he's offering to us. Our life is choked out. There's a good picture of this in Scripture with the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, and he's someone who is has received the word of God. He knows the truth. He knows the commandments, and he's been trying to follow them. But then he comes to Jesus, and he says, "What else can I do?" And Jesus says, "Go home and sell everything you have and give it to the poor." It says that that man left sad because he had many things. And he loved those things more than he did the word of God, more than what God could provide for him. And he left in despair. My friends, you have many of these things in your life too, I'm sure. We all do. That would be tempting to look to for your joy, for your pleasure, for your peace. It could be pursuing your career or athletics or academics. Maybe for yourself or maybe for someone in your family. Trying to pursue these things, thinking, these things will make me happy. These things will give me peace. These things will make me successful. Maybe you seek your own pleasures. It could even be in laziness or just trying to live for whatever pleasure you have at the moment. When we pursue these things, put our trust in these things, it chokes us out. The last kind of soil is called the good soil. And wouldn't we all like to think that that's what we are, and even naturally so? It is this kind of soil that receives the seed. Think about good soil. It's rich and it's soft, and the seed goes deep down. It's protected in the soil, and it has nutrients, and it can grow. It's free of weeds, and it's got moisture there that can grow. And when the sun comes out, the sun actually doesn't kill it because it's moisturized by all that rich water, and it can just use the sun to actually grow. That's what God wants in our hearts. He defines this as those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. A heart that is honest about things, sincere. Do you sincerely hold on to the word of God? You can't just be going through the motions. It can't just be accepting it, but not really letting it penetrate deep into your heart or really prioritizing other things in your life and putting God's word on the back burner, but really accepting it, holding fast to it sincerely with a good heart. And this is the only kind of soil that produces good fruit. It's the only kind that in the end is pleasing to God. The kids even identified that with the other ones, that they aren't good for anything. They either don't grow up at all, or they grow up and they die, they wither and dry up, or they get choked out and they don't produce any good fruit. And they're only good to be thrown away into the burn pile. And that burn pile is hell. And God looks too at those who do not bear fruit as these lifeless, dead plants that are only good for the fire. God does not want that. He wants us to grow and bear fruit. But this good soil, it says, even produces it 100-fold. So as we think about this and as we examine our hearts and try to recognize what it is that we're doing with the Word of God, are we hardening our hearts to it? Is our heart so rocky that we're not allowing God's word to take root in us? Are we surrounding ourselves with so many cares and troubles and pleasures of this life that we're going to get choked out? We need to recognize that the only way that you can be good soil is if God works that in you. In Ephesians chapter 2, there's a lot of places we could go in Scripture to find the points that Jesus wants us to understand. But I think a pretty helpful one here is Ephesians 2. when it describes us in our condition before God's work, it says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." Dead, not good, right? We are not naturally good soil. But listen to this. In beginning in verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You could look more at this passage to understand more deeply this truth of how God works salvation in us. But it's a beautiful picture. I don't want you leaving thinking, I got to go and be good soil so that I can bear fruit and be saved and be pleasing in God's sight. But I need you to recognize what's really going on here. In this story, this parable, we've got a picture of a gracious sower who freely is casting seeds out. And he is not showing partiality. He's casting it on all different types of soil, wanting to see his seed penetrate and bring fruit. He wants to care for you. He's offering it freely with his grace. And his word is effective. But he is also the sower, and we can think of him as the gardener, the planter, and he is also the one that can work in our hearts and lives. You see, we cannot become good soil unless the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, produces that in us. Like a farmer tilling up the ground and fertilizing it. God preparing you and caring for you the whole way. So as you think about this, though, it is important to remember your response. Do not harden your hearts. Recognize that on your own, you are your heart and your flesh is deceitful and weak, like that rocky soil. And this world is full of troubles and weeds. Put your trust in God. Hold fast to it, that you might be buried deep, or that seed might be buried deep in you and be protected. Protected from the devil and ourselves and the world. Think of Jesus, who loved you so much that he came to give himself for you. He died on the cross for all of your sins, even though you are hard, rocky, and weedy soil. Listen to this last verse here with me. From Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Hear this word of God and receive it. Hold fast to it. Let us pray. Lord God, we are facing some very powerful enemies. The devil, who wants to snatch away your word and withhold life and health from us and the fruit that you want to bear in our lives. Lord, from our own hearts and our flesh, we are so tempted to do just whatever is pleasing to ourselves. And we give up, we give in so quickly when things get tough. Lord, you warned us that things would be tough. And Lord, we are so easily caught up in the weeds of this life, the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they threaten to choke out the life that you are giving to us. Lord, help us prepare the soil of our hearts that we might receive this good news of Jesus. Believe it in our hearts and confess with our mouth that he is Lord, that you raised him from the dead. Lord, may we trust in you by your grace and your mercy, that we might grow to bear fruit that is what you produced in us through this gracious work. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.